Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Dear fellow Christians who once were lost, but now are found by our Savior. Three men walk into a church. You've never seen them before. They're complete visitors. Man number one is wearing his Sunday best clothes. He's clean-shaven, has a stylish haircut. He seems very respectable. Man number two is not wearing his Sunday best clothes, but that's not what sticks out to you. He has a weird style of a haircut. He's got piercings on his face, and he has tattoos all over his body. Man number three doesn't even own Sunday best clothes, because he is poor and homeless. His hair is unkempt, his beard is straggly. He can't even remember the last time he had a nice warm shower. Now, which of these three men do you try to reach out to sit next to them during worship and to talk to them and eat with them during fellowship time? Maybe you choose man number one because he seems like a very easy person to talk to. Maybe you choose man number two because you think not many other people would be willing to talk to this man. Or maybe you choose man number three because you think this man is the one who desperately needs it the most. But do you know what Christ would have done? He wouldn't have picked just one. He would have reached out to all three of them. For God does not look at outward appearances. He looks at the heart. So to God, he would not see three random visitors who walk into a church, but he would see three sinners who walked into a church. I mean, notice in Jesus' parables, he does not say the most prominent sheep or the most precious coin was lost. Instead, the sheep and the coin that were lost were just like all of the others. And that applies to people as well. Christ loves all the lost, and he wants to reach out to them. And that's the point of our churches. Our church is not here to make people proud and arrogant. Our church is here to love and to welcome the lost. Therefore, as members of this church, God wants us to love the lost like Christ does. Now, for our focus this morning, we look at one Christian church, and that church was the Christian church in Corinth. Paul had established this church during his second missionary journey. He spent almost 2 years preaching the gospel to these people. After those 2 years, he left that area to establish new churches and to reach out to other people who were lost. But after Paul left, there were many problems that began to occur in this church. There's a whole plethora of problems. People were creating factions and driving this church apart. People were abusing the sacrament of Holy Communion. People were abusing worship because it was all disorganized and people were just standing up and saying whatever they want. People were even filing lawsuits against one another and taking them to court. But one problem that we want to zero in on was a problem that really shocked Paul for more than one reason. So what was that problem? Well, in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he said this: "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife." One man in this Christian church was sleeping with his father's wife. Whether this means his actual mother or his stepmother, we don't know. But it doesn't matter. Paul was so shocked by this, he said, not even unbelieving pagans would commit this sin. And it is this man that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians who had sinned against this church. But that wasn't the only thing that shocked Paul. You would safely assume that this Christian church would be appalled at what this man was doing. But Paul had this to say to the Corinthians, "And you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this?" This Christian church was proud of what this man was doing. How could they possibly be proud about this? Well, very likely it's because they were thinking, look at how loving we are. We don't judge this man for what he is doing. We welcome him. We accept him as he is. We are loving him just like Christ would. But this is not loving the lost like Christ. Even when Jesus associated with tax collectors and sinners, it doesn't say that he accepted what they were doing. Instead, in these parables, he still describes them as lost sinners who needed to be reached out to and be brought to faith and repentance. And that's what Paul wanted this Christian church to do to this man who had committed this horrible sin. That's why Paul said, "The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him." So what was this punishment that was inflicted upon this man? It was church discipline, pointing out the seriousness of this man's sin. Since this man at first refused to repent of his sin and to change his ways, Paul told the Corinthians, "Hand this man over to Satan, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord." This church had excommunicated this man because of his sin. Nowadays, people view church discipline, and especially excommunication, as being an unloving thing, as if we are kicking someone out of our church and saying good riddance to them. But that is not the motivation behind church discipline and excommunication. Church discipline and excommunication is done out of love. It is showing someone the seriousness of their sin. It is telling them that they no longer have fellowship with us because they no longer have fellowship with God. For since they refuse to repent of their sins, they are no longer forgiven and Christ is no longer their Savior. This is to be done in a loving way, and this is to show love to the lost. And so as members of this church, God wants us to love the lost like Christ. So why is it that we don't always do this? Maybe we don't always do it because we know what it's like when people point out our sins. We don't like it. We become defensive. We can become angry. And therefore, since that's how we feel when people point out our sins, we figure we shouldn't point out the sins of others because we don't want them to become defensive or angry. Or maybe we don't point out sin to people because we think it is better just to love them and to accept them as they are. But that is not loving the lost like Christ. That is just leaving the lost to remain lost to the love of Christ their Savior, how he died for their sins, and he wants them to repent of what they are doing. And so we would be acting just like this Corinthian church that was proud and content to leave someone in sin. And that is sinful for us to do. May the Lord forgive us for committing this sin. And when we repent to him about this sin, we do receive his forgiveness. Therefore, do not let the lost remain lost in their sin. Love the lost like Christ does. Point out their sin so that they can be brought to repentance. Just look at what happened to this man who had committed this horrible sin in the Corinthian church. Paul said the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. By saying it was sufficient for him, he is saying that it has done its job. by excommunicating this man, he saw the seriousness of his sin and he repented. They loved the lost like Christ by pointing out this man's sin. But there is another aspect to loving the lost like Christ. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him." This man had repented of his sin. But now it seems like the Corinthian congregation did not know how to respond to this. It seems like they didn't know if they should love, welcome, and forgive this man or not. Or maybe some people in the congregation loved and welcomed this man back, but then maybe most of them refused to love and to forgive this man for what he had done, even though he had repented. And so Paul encouraged them to reaffirm their love for this man, because if they didn't, he would be overwhelmed with sorrow. Why would this man be overwhelmed with sorrow? Well, it's because if his Christian church would not love, welcome, and forgive him, then he would wonder if he was truly loved, welcomed, and forgiven by God. And therefore, overcome with sorrow and grief, he would no longer go to this church. And therefore, because of the actions of these Christians in the church, this man would once again be lost. Not lost in the sense that he refused to repent, but lost in the sense that he would no longer come to church to hear about God's great, amazing grace and how Christ died to take away his sins. This is exactly what Satan wants. Paul told us that Satan has his own schemes in order to outwit us. Satan can even take something as beautiful as repentance, something as beautiful as when we confess our sins to God to receive his forgiveness, and turn that against us. He can even do that to our own church. And I, as your pastor, will tell you, he has. Let me ask you, do you see yourself more as the person who is not loved, welcomed, or forgiven in our church? Or do you see yourself more as the person who does not love, welcome, and forgive people in this church? Obviously, we're going to gravitate toward thinking we're the ones that aren't loved and forgiven and welcomed. And that may be true. But remember that when God speaks through his word, when he speaks his law, he's speaking to you and me directly, to point out our sins and to bring us to repentance. What if I told you that there can be people who no longer want to attend this church because they don't feel loved, welcomed, or forgiven only because of you? Because of your actions and what you have said and how you said it to them. Because you give the impression of giving them the cold shoulder whenever they are around. Because it feels like you are silently judging them whenever they come here by thinking, what are you doing here? I know your sins. I know what you have done against others. I know what you have done against me. You don't belong here. In fact, our church would be better off if you weren't here anymore. Or because after they asked you to forgive them, it doesn't feel like you have truly forgiven them. And if everything that I have just said to you makes you think, ah, yes, I know of people who have done that to me, then you are missing the point. God's speaking to you to bring you to repentance. For there can be people who no longer want to come to church simply because of our actions. And don't we realize what we are doing when we act in this way? We are just like the Pharisees, who were offended that Christ would associate with sinners instead of associating with them. And therefore, we can be tried to changing our church into a place that we only love and welcome those that we like. It's not the point of this church or any Christian church. The church here is not to love and welcome those that we just like. The church is here to love and to welcome all people, all those who are lost, every single sinner. So as Paul said this morning, the reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient to everything. We see how we haven't done that. We haven't stood the test. We haven't been obedient in everything. We only see our sins. Therefore, we need to confess our sins to God and confess our sins to those that we have sinned against. When we do this, when we ask someone to forgive us and they say, "I forgive you," we can know with confidence that we are forgiven. Because Paul said, "If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake." We are forgiven because of Christ for our sake. Remember when Jesus spoke these parables about reaching out to the lost? He was also talking about us as well. One time we were lost. From the very moment that we were conceived and born, we were lost in our sins. But even before we were born, there was Christ, who perfectly stood the test and was obedient in everything. Christ perfectly loved the lost. He pointed out sin to others, and he also loved and welcomed and forgave those who came to him. Therefore, every time that we have failed to love the lost, when we haven't pointed out sin, when we haven't loved and welcomed and forgiven people, that was placed on Christ on the cross. He died for our sins. And since Christ loved us that much to die for our sins, he also loved us so much that he reached out to us when we were lost. He has brought us to faith and to repentance. And even if you don't feel loved and welcomed and forgiven by people in this church or by others, remember that you are loved, welcomed, and forgiven by Christ your Savior. This is our motivation to love the lost like Christ. So when it comes to anyone who enters our church, whether it's a visitor or a member, love them like Christ does. For Christ sees sinners who are coming to him. Love the lost by pointing out sin to bring them to repentance. And when they do repent, do not let them be overwhelmed by sorrow. But love them, welcome them, and forgive them. For by doing so, you are reaffirming your love for them, just like Christ loves the lost. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.